That's a blessing to so many people. What you give goes all over the world. And we're grateful that you, you know, God could have used anybody to answer Doc's prayer. He's a general. He's a prophet. So we gave to the prophet and get a prophet's reward. General, God could have used anybody. Doc, he has a lot of churches. He has some very large church. I just came out of one, had 1,000 people in it. He could have used that church. He could have used some of the other churches, but he didn't. He chose us. And I think that is such an honor for God to choose us to answer a prayer and to meet a need. Now, buddy, that's pretty good for God to choose us, God to choose you. So I'm going to choose you. Out of all the people he could have chose, he'd choose you to answer a prayer. Well, if he can choose you to answer a prayer like that, why can't he choose you to answer a prayer if somebody is dying of some disease? Why can't he use you to pray a prayer of faith? It says the prayer of faith shall raise. The prayer of faith shall heal us. The prayer, it says in faith in James chapter 5. Prayer in faith. Well, if you don't have enough faith to give, you won't have enough faith to pray for somebody that's dying. Now, you may go through the motion, but you have to have faith. Now, it takes faith to give God your money. I mean, it takes faith. And if you can't obey God in that realm, that's why he starts out with 10%. God does that for a reason, to get you to build your faith up in him, to trust him. And if you can believe God and start giving 10%, call the tithe, if you believe God and you can do that, then you'll move on up, your faith starts growing. And you can believe God when somebody comes along dying and they're sick, you have enough faith to say, bless God, I've got faith. You can answer their prayer. Whatever it is. What about a word from the Lord? Word of knowledge to just help somebody. Word of wisdom. Some of the gifts of the Spirit that will just turn somebody around. God will use you, but you have to be usable. And God knows what he's doing. And when you sat in a church and the offering bucket's passed and somebody has a need and when we shut up our bowels of compassion, and we just don't do it, then God can't use us the next time. I remember something Brother Hagin said one time. It's a biblical principle or a law, really, that he was a teacher of faith in the body. And he said back in the 30s, he was pastoring a little old church in Texas. And he said on Wednesday night, he said, it's close to Christmas, and things were tight, you know, and the depression days and all that stuff, and wasn't much money, and he pastored a little old church in farm country, farmers. And he said, just before church started, they was out there and said, a bus pulled up in front of his church, and somebody got off and just came to church and introduced himself, said, I'm a minister, and said, I was heading somewhere to a little town, and said, I got on the bus and I said, here's how much money I've got, how far will this take me? And said, it brought me to this town, and the bus driver said, you know, I know you're a minister. He said, Brother Hagin's church, there's a little church right up here, so I can let you on in front of that church if you want to. He said, yeah, stop there and I'll just go to church with him tonight. Well, that's all the money he had as far as he could go. Well, he didn't tell Brother Hagin that to start with. He told him that at the end of the meeting. Well, Brother Hagin told him, said, well, while you're here, Brother Hagin said he'd met him before in convention, said, while you're here, why don't you just preach for us? He said, well, I didn't come to preach. I'd rather hear you preach. He said, no, just go ahead and preach for us. So he got up and was preaching, and while he was preaching, the Lord told him, he said, I want you to give him $10. And Brother Hagin said, he sat there the whole time that man was preaching, arguing with the Lord about that $10. He said, "Lord, probably all the money I've got in the world is $10. And he said, "Christmas has come." $10 is a lot of money back then. He said, "Christmas is coming and my family, and I need to buy stuff for my kids and Christmas and all that. And Lord, I only have $10. And he said he never heard a word that man said the whole service because he's sitting there arguing with the Lord about that $10. And the Lord told him, he said, "I've called him to pastor. He's going to a certain city, to a certain church there, to try out for the pastorate." And said, "I've called him to pastor that church. And he don't have money to get there and stuff, and or to do him when he gets there. And so that's the reason I had him come here tonight. I want you to give him $10 to go on down there." And said, "I've called him to pastor that church." And finally, Hagin said he just went ahead and gave it up. Said he gave him what money he had and gave him the offering, gave him what change he had, and said everything he had and come to $10. And said, and the brother said, "Brother Hagin, I really appreciate that. I didn't have any money." And he told him the story about this as far as he could go. And I told him, "Just let me on in front of the church." And he said, "I'm going down here to try out for this church." And Brother Hagin said, "Yeah, I know." And said, "You're the next pastor of that church. The Lord told me you're the next pastor." Well, years later after that, Brother Hagin was traveling and said he stopped. It was preaching in this church. And there was a lady in the church. The pastor asked Brother Hagin, said, "Will you care to go over here with me to pray for this lady in the church?" Said, "She's dying. She don't have but just probably a few hours to live." And said, "Would you go over there with me to pray with her?" Said, "Sure, I'll go over there." And so they were praying, and said they were standing around the bed praying or whatever, and the word of the Lord come to Brother Hagin. He said, "Quit praying, go down and stand at the foot of the bed and tell that demon to turn her loose and come out of her and command her to be healed." And said he got up off his knees, went around to the foot of the bed and pointed his finger and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her and leave her and be healed." And he said, "So help me," he said, "that lady lifted plumb off of that bed." Said she came plumb up in the air off of that bed and just dropped back down, and she was completely well. She jumped up out of that bed and ran around the whole house praising the Lord, dancing all through that house. And said the Lord then spoke to him and said, "If you hadn't obeyed me back there with that $10, I couldn't have used you here." He said, "If you hadn't obeyed me then, I couldn't have used you now." Wow. Now, we don't understand that. We don't understand that. It wasn't the fact that the money is the fact of the obedience. Is the fact that he took a great step of faith to give that preacher $10. And when it came time that Brother Hagin didn't have a problem just stepping out there and obeying God and allowing God to use him again. See, we don't understand that stuff. So when the Lord tells you to do something, do it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's the last nickel you've got. It doesn't matter what it is. If he tells you to pray for whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Because you don't know what's down the road. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know divine encounters. The alignment that God does. You understand everything works on something else. It's like laying a wall. Every brick stacks on another brick. You can't just start on in the middle of the wall building the wall. You have to start at the bottom. And you have to lay every course of brick with one brick at a time. And if you don't build on that, you won't have when you get up here to be used or to have or something to happen for you, you've not made yourself available. Regardless of what it is. That's why I was always afraid to miss a church service. I never know what the word of the Lord was going to be, what he would speak to me during that service. You see, when you get in church or get in under the anointing, God can begin to speak to you. He can begin to arrange things on the inside of you. He can begin to fix things. And if you don't, if you're missing, I don't want to miss today because tomorrow's coming. I want to have a brick at a time, whatever it is. Because the Bible says it's a little here and a little there. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Well, I want to get the little here so I can get the little there. And all of that builds together to make a completion. And if you miss part of it, well, God in his grace, you know, he'll try to get you there some other time or try to get it to you some other way, or he'll try to, you know, put a book in your path or a tape in your path or a song or somebody in your path. He'll try to get it across to you somehow. But if we're not listening, if we're not yielded, then we'll miss God. Amen? Well, I'm preaching better than you're looking now. Some people say I'm preaching better than you're amening, but I always say nobody's amening, I'll say looking. Look when in Matthew 12. Brother Hagin used to say, I'm preaching better than you're amening. So I just think, well, nobody's amening. I just say looking. I'm preaching better than you're looking at me. Praise the Lord. Are you in Matthew 12? Pray for me this weekend. I've got to go. Well, I'll be here Sunday, but I got to go to Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be down there with Sherlock Bailey. He's got some pastors down there, and I'm going to preach some for him down there. And the pastor, little pastor, about 40 pastors. So pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? God will arrange things for you. A couple times at Doc Barclay's, he's had me just stand up and say things or whatever. Then I had other pastors. I was just some couple times I said something. They'd want me to come preach for them or this, that, and the other. So you don't want to ever miss God. Everything hinges on what has already happened. Amen? Amen? So regardless of what you think, God knows best. Amen. Just show up. Amen. Let God go from there. Amen? Yeah. Are you in Matthew chapter 14? Good. You're in the right place. You're in 14, you're wrong. Chapter 12. And we'll see verse 22. We'll see what that says. Then one was brought to him who was demon possessed. Did you know there's demon possessed people in Jesus' day? You think they are today? Some churches don't even talk about demons. Well, where'd they all go? They're still around, same devils, same demons. Same demon that possessed this young man still alive today and around. Maybe somewhere in North Carolina. You don't know. I heard Lester Summerall say one time, he cast this devil out of this man. And he told him to come out. And he said he was some demon that possessed somebody back in like the 15th century. Same demon. It possessed somebody. So they're still around. All of them. Still around. The air is saturated with demons. Some followed you to church this morning. Now, maybe out in the parking lot. Well, I know they're out in the parking lot. We keep them out of here. Praise and worship run them off, you see. But they can go to church. Demons go to church. Jesus went to church one day and was preaching, and And one of the deacons was demon-possessed and screamed, "What do we have to do with thee, thou son of God?" During church, he said, "Shut up and come out of here." That's all Jesus ever said to demons. Shut up and come out. That's all you have to say. Shut up and come out. I was at church and at one time and we were sitting on the platform and this guy was come down the middle of the aisle, slithering like a snake and going, and everybody just sat there. It's like he does this all the time. He went to church, right? He was some guy in the church, and he'd get up and he'd be all right, and he'd hang around, go to church. Well, in America, there's demons everywhere. We got different demons in America. They're in people's head. They're religious devils, New Age devils, and political devils, and all kind of devils, and it's hard to get rid of them. Jesus preached deliverance. If you repent, and come into the body of Christ and don't get delivered, then you're still useless. You have to be delivered. Jesus preached deliverance. A lot of times people come and say, "Well, just cast everything out of me." Well, it's not that easy. What you've got is intertwined with your thought life. It's the way you're thinking in your head, these demons are. You have to bombard those demons with the word of God and the anointing and preach deliverance to get it out of them. You have to preach it. That's why when I preach, I don't just preach to you, I preach to spirits, demons. That's why I've noticed over the years, if somebody shows up that's got some kind of demon, or if you bring your relatives or something and somebody you know and they've got some kind of demon, and I bust that thing. I won't be 5 minutes in the service. I start just hitting it. I don't know. I didn't know your cousin was gay. You brought to church. I wasn't preaching at him. That's why I tell people before service, don't tell me any problem. Just wait till I get through preaching. And you won't have to mention it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he had a demon in Jesus, and he healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" That's the Old Testament. That's who he was as a man, you know, son of David. Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub." That's a type of Baal, part of Baal worship. Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, that's who he's casting them out by. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he always does. He knows yours. And said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house," your house, if it's divided against itself, it won't stand. So my advice to you in the house, get it together. Get together. Quit rebelling against one another. Will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how will his kingdom even stand? If I'm casting out devils by the devil, then Satan's kingdom won't even stand. It won't even work in the devil's kingdom. So Jesus is telling us here, Satan's kingdom is not divided. There is no division in Satan's kingdom. Wow. No division in Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is organized. Howard Pittman taught me that. It's so organized that it works exact. Now, they operate by fear. There's no love in his kingdom. No, they don't do anything because they want to. They do it because they're afraid of the other ranking demons over them. You read Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find the order of that rank and the demons' spirits. They're afraid, but they're organized. Dear God, I wish God's house was like that. The very name itself, denomination, means divided one. One that's divided. That's what a denomination is. We're divided. You try to get everybody together. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Don't not robbery be equal with God. Be equal or same mind with God or one with God. You'll find God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit is one. They're one. Military operates on that principle of oneness. We're an army of one. You get out of rank or get out of order, you're put in prison in the military. You will obey orders. You will obey rank. And you will carry out your assignment. You will carry out your mission. And you'll keep your thoughts to yourself. And if you argue with authority, you're out. You're in trouble. How do I know? But in God's house, everybody's the boss. Everybody has an opinion. Well, we do. That's okay. Everybody has the answer. You're not telling me what to do. And Pastor's not telling me what to do. You're getting mama. Well, you're divided. You just divided yourself from the order that's in the house. You divided yourself. You chose to separate yourself from divine order. And by separating yourself from divine order, you've opened yourself up to chaos. Where strife and confusion is, there is every evil work. And if you think it won't come to your house, then I'll be here to pray for you. And when I come to pray for you, you won't know why you're sick. And you won't know why you're this or why you're that. And pray the prayer of faith, Pastor. And I noticed you all the way back where you started getting in rebellion and started getting in all this, and your opinion mattered more than anything else. And I watched it, and I just thought, well, it's just a matter of time, see. Then I watch it come on, and what are you going to do? Nothing. Because you can't tell them, well, you need to repent. They don't, for why? Well, your stinking attitude, for one. And your old rebellion. And trying to stir up trouble. Calling people on the phone. And giving them your opinion. Everybody has one. Well, you better keep it to yourself. You know, it's not going to hurt me. You'll do yourself a world of hurt. Now, I know I've seen it too many times. I buried too many people who wanted to get out of rank, in other words. It won't work. Well, who do you think you are? You're just trying to be, run roughshod. Listen, I'm as afraid to get out of order as you are. Better be. Amen? Amen. A house divided. So if you want to divide yourself, then that's your will. You can divide yourself. You can leave the church. You can leave mad. You can leave upset. You can leave because your opinion was right and this and that and all that. Go ahead on. Go on down the road. Then I'll get a phone call saying, well, so-and-so's very sick and dying. What do? Satan is a master. He is a master at what he does. He is so good at what he does. He's been doing it for 2,000 years or longer than that, 4,000, 6,000 years. He knows what he's doing. Mankind is mankind. We're all just alike. It's not hard. He figured man out in the first 20 years. He figured out with Adam how weak man is on his own. If we don't stay in line with this word, when Jesus came, Satan thought he had him. Jesus, he didn't do anything but tell him what the Bible said. The word says, the word says, the word said. And Satan says, nothing I can do with him. Amen. Let's see. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judge. Now notice he's saying this. All right, if I'm casting out demons, who are these disciples that you've trained to cast out demons? And they had trained disciples of their own. You can find out in Acts chapter 19, the seven sons of Sceva, that they were exorcists. They trained them how to get rid of devils, but they wasn't really getting rid of any devils and all that. And Jesus said, well, who's these disciples you've trained? Who are they casting them out? And so they didn't have an answer. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or how can a man enter a strong man's house unless he binds him up? Now then, let's look over down in verse 39, sake of time. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given them except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Because the Pharisees are just asked him for a sign. He said, there's no sign given to you. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights and in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation, and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of the south, will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed greater than Solomon is here. Now notice, this tells us something about the judgment day. Notice it says here that the people of Nineveh will rise up and declare a judgment against our generation. A generation will be judged. And the leaders of that generation will be judged. And they'll say, and the people will be judged. And say, look at Nineveh. They heard the word of the prophet, they repented, and you didn't. And a greater than Jonah preached to you. And the queen of Sheba came to Solomon and said, greater than Solomon is here. And you heard it, and you didn't repent, and that is your judgment. Because he said, by our words we'll be condemned. Howard Pittman made note of that when he was pleading his case before the Lord, and the Lord played his words back to him. When he told him, your life is an abomination to me. I will not receive your life. I reject your life. Wow. And he said, but Lord, and the Lord, from the sound from on the other side of the gate came over the wall a voice, and it was Howard's voice. And those words came back to haunt, and he was judged by his own words. And God said, how can you deny that? That's what that means. Well, do you think we ought to go to church today? Do you think we ought to do that? I don't know about that, pastor. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And wow, wow, wow. You better be careful. Your words on that day will judge us. That's why, you know, when the Holy Spirit quickens me, don't you say that. I'll say, I repent, Lord. Kill those words. Get gone. Don't play them back, please. Amen. Now this is what I want us to see. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, He goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. How dare that dirty devil to call my body his house? But he does. You're my house, he says. I'm going back to my house. I look every Sunday morning across the congregation, and I look sometimes especially for some of the girls that's got saved in the jail. Because a lot of them, you know, and a lot of other faces I see, and the men, and the people who just started, I look to see if they're here. Because they've just got delivered from one thing, jail, drugs, alcohol, abuse, some of the things the rest of us might have. I look at people who are having lack and poverty, and I see them starting to prosper, and see them starting to come out of it, and I see them starting to make it, and I'll look to see if they're here. And a lot of times I'm sad because they're not here. I look for people who've had a problem physically or had a problem with other things or maybe that I know of, some things by the Spirit that I know of that they've been going through and they've started getting back, and I look and see if they're here. A lot of times I don't see their faces. So, oh Lord. Oh Lord. Says here that demon leaves us. How did it leave us? God drove it out. When they said, I do accept Jesus Christ, he leaves. But you better rest assured, honey. You better write it on the refrigerator. You better mark it down. Put it on the dashboard of your truck. He will come back. He will be back. If you broke that spirit of poverty, you better not slack 1 minute in your giving. He will come back. The only spoil you have, the only victory that you have, is where you've defeated the devil. If you're walking in abundance or in prosperity, that means you have whipped that devil of poverty. You beat him because the spoil is on the other side of that gate. You see, Peter says that we've been given all things freely. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness has been given to us free. God gave them to us. Prosperity is free. Healing is free. Joy is free. All these things are free. But when God sent them, Satan's the god of this world, he grabs them immediately and he builds a fence around them and builds a big strong gate and said, these things are yours, but you're not getting them. You can't have them. And I say, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my prosperity. I'm going to get my joy. I'm going to get what belongs to me, devil. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. You think you're going to keep it from me? It's called warfare, my brother and sister. It's a battle. You only have what you where you defeated the enemy. The only spoil you have is what you took from the devil. The Bible makes that plain. You have the spoils of war. When you get to heaven, there's nothing to fight for. It's all free. But down here, it's a battle. You have nothing that there's not a battle for. I've heard people, preachers, stand up and say, you know, I just started the church and it grew overnight to 500,000 people. I gave $1,000 immediately. I became rich. I said, dear God, I don't have nothing that I have not have to fight for every inch. I've scraped and fought every inch for everything I've got. For every person in here, I have fought for. Every person I've fought for. And many I've fought for that came and left. But it wasn't my fault. I fought for them. It's spoils of war. and you're standing in victory and you're prosperous and you're doing good, then you, and he comes back. Yeah. And I look at these people. They've been delivered. They've been free. Now they're doing good. They're cleaned up, and I look in their face, but they don't come to church now. Uh-oh. It's all just church. Oh, yeah. It's what the devil wants us to think. Notice. And when he comes, he finds, and then he says, well, let's read it. Unclean spirit goes out of a man. He walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and in order. Clean. I mean, that house is clean. And it's in order. It's in order just like God meant for it to be. It's clean. God cleaned it up. It's in order. God put our life in order. It's swept. There's no more junk in our life. But he finds it empty. Empty? My brother and sister, we're living in some days that there's demon spirits like the church has never faced in its, all of its existence. Satan has loosed an army of demons that has been reserved especially for this last day. You look at the young people. You look what they're facing. They're facing things I've never faced. You can't even send them off to college because of all these demons of liberalism and this junk. They brainwash them, and it's not long till you're fighting the very child that you raised in the house of God, and you're arguing with them. That's not right. What happened to you? You can't stay empty. You have to stay full of the Word of God. You have to stay full of the Spirit of God, full of praise, full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled, that means to be in filled and filled, refilled and refilled. Yeah. Jeremiah says that you've leaked out. There's some, you'd be one initial feeling, a feeling, but You keep going for a while. After a while, you start feeling empty and tired and sluggish. You need a refilling. Come on now. You get these things in church. Amen. You get these things where the anointed is, by hanging around church, listening to the Word, staying full. Then he returns to his house and finds it empty. Then he goes back. He runs out and says, it's empty. The house is empty. They've not been going to church. They don't know the Word. He tried them. He tried the people. And he tempted them again with the very thing they were tempted, what they were living in. The very thing they got delivered from, he tempts them with it again. He tries them. The very same thing. If you got delivered from cancer, then he'll try his best to get back in. And he'll look for an empty place. He'll look for a void. Somewhere where you're not filling it up with the Word. He'll look. If you've been delivered from poverty and lack, he'll look. If you've been delivered from depression, he'll try his best. And you're out there and you're empty. You've been listening to good old country music all week. Dear God in heaven, deliver me. That's not country music. That stuff's not country, and at least not the country I came from. Then you listen to this other music all these kids listen to. And they think that's okay. Oh, you think that's okay, kids. And the parents let them listen to it. I got in Candy's car one time, and I was driving down the road, and she had a whole bunch of tapes or CDs, and I got to looking at them. Phew. I better throw 15 away. I emptied that car. Dad, some of those weren't mine. I said, they ought not got in your car. She's 20-something year old. I don't care. I don't care if it's 40. I'll not be hanging around you. What's that junk doing in here? What are you doing that junk? What are you doing on it? That computer? What is that trash? Well, I'm a big boy now. You're a dumb boy, what you are. You don't have any sense. You don't know. Well, there's nothing I can do, Pastor. You're weaker than he is. What do you think is going to happen? You're both going to wind up empty, and you're going to have hell. My daughter, I tell you, she went the wrong way, but I followed her every foot, every inch of the way I followed her. I mean, I fought. Kathy fought. You're not going peacefully. I tell you, you may go, but you won't go peacefully. I'll give you glory every minute. I'll give that devil a hard time. If you're full, you're full. Well, I'm half full. Well, you're half empty. When's the last time you read your Bible through the week? When's the last time you said, praise the Lord, hallelujah? When's the last time you listened to anything on that radio except that stupid junk you listen to? Right, amen. Except the 50. That's okay. Elvis is all right sometimes. Yeah, mama, shallow. I felt that. I felt that. Ooh. You know what I mean, don't you? That's some stuff is just demonic in nature. What bothers me is we can't tell the difference. It's okay to go to some movies, and some of them is demonic in nature. When we get to we can't tell the difference, that's when we're in trouble. Hallelujah. And I look around, I don't see them. And it's just, listen, you think you can, well, I'm saved. Yeah, you think it's a free road, you know, free ride. You think you got a ticket now. You're okay. No, you're in battle, honey. And you have to stay around people that's strong, strong preaching, strong word, strong anointing to make it. You can't be out there by yourself. You have to go to church, especially you see the day approaching, the Bible says. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits. More wicked than the one you got delivered from. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. The last state of that man is worse than the first. I've seen this happen. Honey, let me tell you something. You cannot go back and it be the same. It's impossible. You think about maybe at the times you used to have when you was living in the world and you drank and you had friends and party and all that. And you can't go back to that. It won't ever be like that. It's different now. There's more wicked spirits. More wicked. And they're don't have any mercy at all. Seven times worse. I've seen people who used to just drink and they'd backslide and go back and start drinking again. They become full-blown alcoholics. Yep. Satan just take over. Look with me in 2 Peter. I'll read this to you. Chapter 2. Verse 20. Now this goes for all of us. We have to stay up on it. I mean, when I came in to the church, when I got born again, I knew. I guess supernaturally, I knew. I couldn't play around. I listened to other people tell me, you know, we was driving over an hour one way to church, and we didn't have any money and didn't have a really good car, didn't have any gas, and it was hard. It was hard just to go to church. I mean, it's easy now for us and for you. It's easy. It was hard for us to go to church. I mean, we had to believe God to go to church. I had to believe God all the way. I'd drive that little Volkswagen. I'd go uphill, and I'd turn it off, and I'd coast downhill. Thank God there's a lot of hills between Yancey County or Burnsville and Candler. I'd coast downhill in that little Volkswagen. I'd steal gas out of the lawnmower, the chainsaw. You say, well, chainsaw's got oil in it. I didn't care. He'd go out the road smoking. Anything that had a little fire to it, I'd pour it in that thing. If I'd had any liquor left, I'd have poured it in it. I mean, it was difficult to us to keep my first assignment. My first assignment, God's go to church. And brother, I went to church. And so I got to wavering a little and compromising. People said, how easy it'd be just to go to church. And I started going to church around there and had some churches I could walk to. I was sitting there on the pew listening. I told the Lord, I said, if I don't get out of here, I'll be drunk in 6 months. I'll be drunk. I can't, there's nothing. I can't live on this. Some people can live on it. Some people can just live a nice little life and work a little, you know, and just go to church and just a little bit of doing, like Brill Cream, you know. Little dab of do, you know, nobody knows what Brill Cream is. Little dab of do used to be a commercial on TV. I can't do that. I said, I have to have more than what I have. I had to be overpowered with the word to keep that stuff driven out of me because I had so many devils and they were so strong. I said, I'll be drunk in 6 months. I knew it. I won't ever last. Nobody there lasts. And I found out later some of the guys were betting on how long I'd last because a lot of my friends and people got born again, and it wasn't long. No matter who got born again, they were back drinking because there's nothing there. I didn't have anything. And I said, God, I can't do this. And when I found the word, found Brother Hagin, found some good teaching, I mean, I kept something on my head all the time. I sat in the chair and I read books all the time. I kept myself bombarded with the word of God. I had to. You know, I go to church and that was just the icing on the cake all week long. You said, that's because you was a preacher. No. That's because I'd been delivered and I wanted to stay delivered. Because the temptations were too great. Amen? Yeah. Notice what this says, verse 20. Put my glasses up, I thought it was through. For if after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled back in the things they come out of. They're entangled again back in the same. They run around with the people they used to run around with. They start hanging around with the wrong crowd. That's how it starts. They don't start drinking or doing drugs right off. They start hanging around with wrong people. And they start staying out of church. And they have the, well, you know, I got this job. And I got this, listen. You know, whatever it takes, you better get yourself in the body of Christ. Yes. Telling me you have to work all the time. I mean, you come on Tuesday, I'd get anything, you know. I'd come and sit on the church door, if nothing else. They entangled themselves again and are overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the very beginning. For it would have been better for them if they had never been born again. Than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to a true proverb. A dog returned to its own vomit. And a sow, having been washed, and a little pink ribbon in its ear, to her wallowing in the mire. She goes right back to the mud hole she came out of. And the dog, you've seen a dog. they'll throw up. You have to run get them real fast. The stupid things will turn around and just go devouring it. The puke. And it amazes Christians do that. They've been set free and delivered. God's blessed them financially. God's blessed them. And they entangle themselves again with the same people, same crowd, same world, same things. And the Bible said it was better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Now that's a strong statement. Wow. Well, stand up with me. Well, that's a little, I just had that in my spirit this week and last week. I watch for people. I say, oh God. I say, are you reading your Bible? Are you listening to any tapes? You doing anything? Well, I'm being a Christian, Lord, 20 years. And you know, I don't mean you're not empty. Last year's bird's nest. Just flat empty. That's why there's a scripture in the Bible that says Satan can take people at his will. I've watched some people in church over the years. Whenever Satan wanted to stir up a mess in the church, he always went to the same two or three people. It always go back to the same two or three. Usually it's a woman, talks to her husband, and he gets just like her. And he start finding fault with things. And I told somebody something, I'd hate to know that the devil thought that much of me. That the devil thought that much of me that he could just say, oh, don't worry, I've got a plan over there in Glory Church. I've got a plan over there. If I need to stir up something, I can just go get them. I'd hate to know that I was his favorite. You dumb devil. You mean you think that much of me? Oh, you don't you go anywhere. Don't you go nowhere. There's been people in church before. I'd ask him, would you please find you another church? Oh, no, no, no. See, I know why. Amen. Get yourself full of the Word of God and the love of God, and he won't have a chance at you. Father, we thank you today for the power of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, we've been set free and going to stay free. We're going to keep our house full. How dare you, devil, call my body your house anyway. You're not coming back in. I'm not letting you back in. I'm not going to be seven times worse. I'm not going to be seven times worse. No way I'm going to be seven times better. I'm going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Glory to God. Father, I pray for these people. Let this be just a little alert to us to stay full of the Word. Just take a few minutes every day just to read the Bible. Get you a CD and put it in your little player there that's reading the Word on your way to church. Just anything to hear that Word. And Father, we bless the people this morning in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a good hand. You don't have any announcements? Well, just read to us a good going away.